And because the quarterly designated it was for a specific date, we had the tendency to hurry through material. Bible study should not be hurried. Bible study should take the time that is sufficient for the material that's there to be covered. That's what we intend to do. Now, I hope you will look at the table of contents with me, because our first lesson is on the table of contents. As we look at this material, the table of contents is going to give us some idea of where we're going to go. We're talking about godly living. As we talk about godly living, it brings us back again to Romans, the 8th chapter. We're going to start in verse 9 there. As we look at this aspect of godly living, and you make notes, by the way, I should have told you that. You can make notes. This is your notebook. As you go through the notebook and you turn a page over, a lot of times you can even take notes on the back of the previous page. So it's lined out that way for purpose. We didn't print both sides so that you would have plenty of room to take notes on the previous page once you get in the book. Let me encourage you today in the table of contents that I'm going to talk to you about some things, a verse from each one of these chapters. And if you notice out to your right, past the page column, there's just a blank margin out there that's pretty wide. You can put down in that blank margin the verses that we talk about from each chapter if you desire to. Okay, so as we talk about godly living, I wanted us to reflect on it here from the text in Romans. And again, Paul is designating the difference between living after the Spirit and living after the flesh. There is a distinct difference in the two, just as there was in Paul's day, and still is today. Again, in verse 9, he's talking to the Christians at Rome. That's the ye. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Friends, I would take Paul's exhortation to us this morning. If we are children of God, if we are Christians, we're not in the flesh. We're in the Spirit. We should not be fleshly minded. We should be spiritually minded. Now let's go on. If so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. I believe it's proper for us to talk about the Spirit of God dwelling in us. It's proper for us to talk about the Spirit of Christ dwelling in us. By the way, that's before we get out of this verse. And it's proper for us to talk about the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. By the way, whose Spirit is the Holy Spirit? God's Spirit. Okay? Whose Spirit is the Spirit of Christ? God's Spirit. Now, that's the reason Christ said the things he taught. He didn't come to teach of his own will, but he taught them. The will of the Father. And so, what Paul is teaching us here is that as Christian people, the things that are our life, the things that our lives are about, the things that control our lives, direct our lives, the things that we think about in our lives, the thoughts of our minds, the actions of our lives, they should be the things of Christ, the things of God. Now, if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So we have the Spirit of God, we have the Spirit of Christ, and we don't belong to them. So, in this text, we talk about godly living. We're dealing about whose Spirit is within us, whose Spirit controls us. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If Christ dwells in us, what happens to the body? I have to read the text. Body is dead because of what? Sin. Let's go back. Why is that so? Why is the body dead because of sin? Separation of God. Let's go all the way back to like Ezekiel 18:20. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The body is dead because of sin. You know, if we die without Jesus Christ, we are a body that's dead because of sin. Now, however, if Jesus Christ lives in us, it's different. If Jesus Christ is in us, we have life because of righteousness. And we don't just have this life, we have eternal life. Yes, there's the picture. And so, as we look at this aspect of godly living means more than just what it gives me in this world. Godly living means living like the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ is within us, guides us, and directs us to live, but it gives us the hope, the promise of an abundant life, John 10, verse 10. It gives us the hope and the promise of an eternal life.
Romans 3:23. And so we need to recognize it. Verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwelleth in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now tell me what it said. Two things. First of all, what has to be in us? Christ. The Spirit of Christ. Added to the direction, the life of Christ. If that's in us, what? He's going to raise us up. He's going to quicken us. He's going to make us alive. He's going to resurrect us like He resurrected Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ was resurrected, where did He go? First, Ephesians 1 verse 19. He resurrected Him and put Him in all power over the throne of God. He says He'll resurrect us like He did Jesus Christ. Verse 20. Okay, so this is the promise. There's a lot of hope in this. Brother, sometimes we lose hope in living the everyday life of the world. Sometimes we lose hope because we're concentrating on the things of the world, the finances of the world, the corruption of the world, the evil of the world, the things of the world. If we concentrate upon the righteousness of Christ living in us, what we see is not despair. What we see is a beautiful picture of eternal hope. And so He's given us that picture here of mortal bodies by the Spirit. Verse 12. By the way, what's a mortal body? Fleshly body. He's going to quicken. He's going to make alive the mortal body, the dead body by the Spirit. Verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Now, tell me, looking at those two verses, tell me the purpose of the Christian.
Now, live
Christ and live eternally. What He's designed us for. My friend, when we became a child of God, we became a child with purpose. We became a child with direction. We became a child seeking eternal life. And this is the picture that He gives to us. All right, 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I'm not God's son simply because I was baptized. That's how I became His son. How do I do from that point on? I live with His Spirit within me. I live with His Spirit guiding and directing my life. That's how I remain His son. Does this sound similar to anything we've studied recently? Oh, come on, some of you people. Wake up and go back to Wednesday night. Wednesday night, what have we studied in Hebrews 12?
Discipline.
And if God disciplines us, then we are His sons, His children. And so, once I become this Christian, once I submit to the will of God and I'm baptized for the remission of sins, I raise up to walk in a... And there it is. That new life is not me. Paul said it. Go ahead.
It's Christ living in me.
Christ living in me. Now, friends, you can go to Romans 8. You can call that the Spirit of God. You can call it the Spirit of Christ. You can call it the Holy Spirit living in us. That's the power, the force of the Christian life. And we need to recognize. So as we turn this chapter on godly living, what we're talking about is we're talking about that force of God, that force of His truth, that force of His will that lives and guides and directs our lives. It gives us, you know, when I wake up in the morning, how do I know where I'm going? God living in me, led by the Spirit, Carl said. And that's it. That's what gives me direction. You know, the majority of the world wakes up in the morning, they don't even know what direction they're going in. Someone raised their hand and said, well, I'm going to work. Let me ask you a question. Is that all there is to the direction in life? Now watch me. Watch this for a minute. If it is, what happens when you lose the job?
Devastation, my life falls apart. My friends, we're looking at a nation of people in this present economy where for many of them, their lives have fallen apart because their lives are wrapped around getting to the job and getting home from the job to get back to the job the next day. The Christian should not be centered on that. He should be centered on Jesus Christ, God living in him, the things of righteousness involved in his whole of life, making his life be what it should be. Now, over in Thessalonians' letter, Paul taught them if any would not work. So does my direction and life by the Spirit of God, does that bring me to work? Yes. But it doesn't make that the center of my life. It makes that occur because I've got Christ, I've got God's Spirit living in me, and they teach me that concept. What guides my life is God and Jesus Christ. So as we look at this text, this aspect of godly living is what we're going to be looking at through each of these lessons. And we're going to look at some things about how they apply to us and helping us live godly. If we look at this first lesson, it's going to be the aspect of growing as a Christian. The old person, the one person said, you either grow or you die. That is, nothing's more true than that, than what that is true in Christianity, in Christ. People either grow up as Christians or they drift back to the world. And so, as we look at this aspect of growth, and I would encourage you to put 1 Peter 2, verse 2 down. Now, as I give you these verses through this table of contents, some of them will relate to the red pages and some of them won't. But, you know, this idea, as newborns babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. This is our first lesson by design, not by mistake. It is our first lesson by purpose, because until the Christian is ready to grow, none of these other lessons can be accomplished. Until the Christian is ready to grow and doing the things that supplement growth, he can't talk about humility and pride. He can't add to the additions of faith. He can't conquer the works of the flesh and put in the fruit of the Spirit. So the first thing we've got to do is we've all got to talk about Christian growth. I do not care what age you are. You need to talk about Christian growth. You need to look at Christian growth. No one is of such an ancient age that they can excuse themselves from growing spiritually. I don't care how young you are. And my friends, we don't drive this home at a young enough age with our children. We can teach the concept of God and God's Word being true and should be followed. Those little lads can learn that before they can understand a lot of other things. You can take them and you can plop them down in front of the television set and they can watch hours and hours and hours of that humanistic stuff. We can take and teach them about God and His will. Oh, by the way, did you hear the little scuffle over the week about Ernie and Bert? You know who Ernie and Bert are? You know, went through a thing over the week trying to make them turn them into homosexuals on Sesame Street. Now, I'm glad to say that Sesame Street refused to follow such a line of reason. It just matter of time.
Just go to the straight, let's go on, just for all the sexuality is getting more benefits and rights. If we say something, then they can walk us up and be, if they say something, let's learn our religion. They just walk away. That's right, that's exactly the picture. But it's getting worse every day. Right, and what my point is, though, they're taking our children and training them from this young age in this. Now,
while Sesame Street has agreed not to do this at this point, I believe they'll eventually get into it. Second, there's many other humanistic concepts that are clearly taught by Bert and Ernie, and we need to recognize those.
But what if people don't agree with nothing like the Bible says?
That's our problem. That's our problem. That's the reason.
If this is abomination, stoned to death. If a man were a man, stoned to death. Woman were a woman, stoned to death. With an animal, stoned to death.
That's true. That's what God's plan was at that time. However, our sword, our force in it is the teaching of the gospel. We must convert the thinking and the minds of people. That's the reason we've got to go back to study. That's the reason for this first lesson. Yes, Ephesians 6. 17. But that's the point, that we desire the sincere milk of the word, that we can grow by it. That's what convinces and converts people out of this filth of the world. When they lay the word aside, there's only one other place to go. When you leave the mind of the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of the Holy Spirit, the only other place you've got to go is into the worldliness, into the humanism. And so, yeah, we're going to deal with some of this as we go through. Let's go to lesson two. Lesson two, we're talking about humility and pride. James 4, verse 10 would be a key verse for that. As we submit ourselves to God and let Him do the lifting up. Humble ourselves in the sight of God, and He shall lift you up. In our lives, one of the greatest challenges for us to yield to God's word is humility. Until we humble ourselves before God, our pride will keep us from doing what God wants us to do. And so we'll be talking about a great deal about how to submit ourselves to God and what it involves. We'll look at Jesus Christ. You get no better example of this than Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. In verse 9, he became the... he submitted as an individual. He became perfect. The author counts on him back up to 8. Though he was semi, he learned the obedience. He submitted to the will of God. Philippians chapter 2 talks about this. We'll look at this. It's very important for us to recognize the importance of humility and pride. All right, lesson 3, we're going to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 through 25. And as we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, we're going to talk about each aspect of what's added as the fruit of the Spirit is added to our life. And by the way, that's not fruits, plural. It's fruits, singular. The fruit of the Spirit involves all of us. You can't take the fruit of the Spirit and leave part of it off and still have the fruit of the Spirit. It's amazing how many times over the years I hear people talk about this as the fruits of the Spirit, as if you could add one of them and leave the others off, or add two of them and leave the others off, or have a good collection of some of them and say, I have the fruits of the Spirit while I still got to work on them. No, it's the fruit of the Spirit. The Spirit produces each and every one of these in an individual's life. And then we'll look at the works of the flesh, Galatians 5, verses 19 through 21. And this is the works of the flesh, because any one of these works can destroy us. That's all it takes. You don't have to have a wholeness of all the works of the flesh to be corrupted before God. And so he again properly refers to these as the works of the flesh. Alright, in lesson 5 we'll talk about relationships. In lesson 5 we're going to talk about our brotherly relationships. Philippians 2 verse 4. We're going to talk about our relationships with those outside the body of Christ. We're going to talk about our relationships with our employer and the people that we're around everyday life. And then this is very important. It's important that the Christian individual recognizes relationships. It's important that he does what's righteous in those relationships. And sometimes righteousness in relationships does not make the people happy that we want the relationships with. But it's treating them right, whether they know it or not. Okay, and then 6, we're going to talk about modesty and Christian dress and action. This is a little bit of a tough chapter to talk about, because a lot of times we want to get into debate about what modesty is and what actions are righteous and what actions are unrighteous. Certainly if you talk about modesty, you get into the thing of how long, how short, how thin, and all these things. But the fact is, the Bible requires us to talk about these things, modesty and dress and action. Following an unusual direction, I put 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, because I think this comes down to the heart of it. 11:1. Paul here said, be ye followers of me as I also am of Christ. And this is what we're going to be talking about in this lesson on modesty and dress and action. Am I living and dressing in such a way that when other people see me and follow my example, that they're following Jesus Christ? I believe that if we can get ourselves to think in that type of thinking, it'll affect the way we dress and the way we act. Oh, mark your place. We'll finish this up next week. Bring your books. Go over that lesson one a little bit and look at that memory verse out of 1 Peter 2, verse 2. And that's where we'll start.